The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys each and every Saturday morning on 107.3 WBBL-FM. We are live and local in our beautiful downtown Grand Rapids studios. As I look out, it's bluebird sky where I am. I hope it is with you. And it is a beautiful day to get out on your back deck, create a little bit of what we call grill envy. And Bob, you're going to do a little bit of that later today. You told me you're going to do some pizzas on the grill. Let's break that down for everybody. That's not something I've ever done.
That's right. Good morning and welcome back to The Grillin' Guys. And just want to talk a little bit about how to use your grill in a way that will make maybe a few more people happy, because some people aren't into so many steaks and maybe all the seafood and all that stuff, but everybody loves pizza. I bet they even like it out in Long Island, don't they, Matt?
Yeah, probably a little bit different from the pizza here, but my boss always complains about the Michigan pizza.
Oh, really?
Compared to his big New York slices that they like to fold in half and that are dripping with grease, but...
Well, I like to put them on a pizza stone, put them on the grill, and I've got another grill on my back deck. It's one of my old standbys. It's a Phoenix, actually, and it's more of a baking grill anyway because it's got a big deflector pan under it. But if I throw a pizza stone on that grill and I bring it up as hot as it'll go, it'll get up to about 550. And I make my own crust, and it's just fun. You know, it's kind of a... Brewers like to very often make bread. Have you noticed that in the beer industry? Brewers are very much into that whole yeast thing and you know, getting all that balance and stuff. They're some of the best bakers I've ever known.
Absolutely. Yeah, beer is the liquid bread.
It is, which is, you know, clinging onto my...
Yeah, no wonder our friends out of Siciliano's do both, right? They do beer and
exactly.
Bread out there because they're hand in hand, one versus the other.
Home brewers are a classic example of guys that can get a good yeast combination, and it's a very similar process. We're just not getting the fermentation, right?
Well, it ferments, but in a different way. I mean,
right.
But that's where you get the alcohol and everything from is from fermenting. But
so anyway. You make your own crust. If you buy a crust, it's really easy. These pizza stones are like $20 or $30.
What is it, Bob? What's a pizza stone if I was looking for one of those?
It's a piece of, they vary in texture, but very often it's like a clay ceramic combination. Sometimes it's all ceramic. The better ones are all pure ceramic clay. And it's just a nice big round stone. You throw it out on your grill surface. And especially if you have, like, let's say you got a crappy grill that's really uneven in the way that it cooks. What this will do is the heat will hit that stone, and the ceramic is it's just an excellent emitter. It's got a great heat transfer property, so the heat will hit that stone, and it'll spread throughout the stone and get the bottom of that pizza crust.
Cooked evenly.
At a very nice level, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just using your grill for something to impart a little different flavor in your pizza. You can throw a smoker box on your grill if you like a wood-fired pizza, because some people like that smoky kind of flavor on a pizza, which we'll talk about later, but it's just a fun way to use your grill. It's a way for you to do something that doesn't stick you in the kitchen.
Yeah, and as far as in pizza recipe, you do anything you like on your pizza. This is just another technique. Now, Bob, is it important that I don't open the grill during this period of time?
Very much so.
Yeah, because you want to create that convection oven type effect with your grill. So don't open it and look at it. So once I get that pizza on there, if I'm up at the 550, like you said, I got my grill torqued up. How long does it usually take to make a pizza? So I'm not looking every 2 minutes and trying to figure out, is it done yet? Just roughly.
12 minutes.
12 minutes, okay. Yeah, so just keep that in mind.
At 550.
Right, and that's just about long enough to drink one of these Rastafari's from Blue Point Brewing Company.
That's
I tell you what, during the break, we cracked open the third flavor here, and it's a rye beer. And guys, if you've not had rye beers before, they can have a very pungent taste from a variety of brewers. And some of them are really going for that little bit of shock value on your palate. But this one is completely opposite. Once again, this is a smooth, smooth drinking ale. I think it'd go fantastic with one of these grilled pizzas. Break that down for us a little bit, Matt.
Yeah, Rastafari rye, a popular thing with rye beers, people like to call them a rye PA these days. We don't like to call ours that because ours is only 40 IBUs, and 20% of the malt we use in Rastafari Rye is a rye malt. So it really gives it a nice balance. So we like to call it a rye strong pale ale because it is 7.5% alcohol. So it's up there of the beers I have here today. It's definitely the highest. But again, it goes back, our theme is balance, and we want you to be able to drink them and not get overwhelmed by them in terms of filling you up. So, but it's full of flavor. You still get a nice citrus floral hop at the beginning, but that rye malt really balances it out, makes it a smooth, great, easy drinking craft beer. Just chock full of flavor. And actually a fun thing about Rastafari too, portion of the proceeds from all Rastafari sales actually go to a foundation called Toco. They often cry outreach, which helps underprivileged and orphans in the Caribbean to help get them in after school programs like sports and things like that too.
Right. And there's a Rastafarian on the label. You can't miss that one. But anyway, just an absolute fantastic beer to go with, I think, that grilled pizza that we
that pay for the Rasta man's kids, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, IPAs, it's a cool term, and that's an India Pale Ale. And I'm sure you all know, but a lot of people don't understand that the India Pale Ale was an English way. They used to colonize India, and they would ship their beer down to their troops. So they would load those barrels up with hops to keep them from spoiling. You know, it was very warm when you get around the equator, crossing over, going down to India. Take a left when you get to the bottom. And they'd put a bunch of hops in there because the beer was spoiling.
Right.
So that's how, you know, an IPA was evolved, and the troops got it and go, beer.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys each and every Saturday morning on 107.3 WBBL-FM. And we have Matt Troutman from Blue Point Brewing in the studio with us. And he's breaking down some of these cool Blue Point Brewing Company beers. Wow, say that three times fast, but after you've had one as well. But Matt, I want to talk a little bit about this IBU that you've been talking about, and it's an Imperial British unit. Is that what that's called? But it's a scale for bitterness, isn't it?
For international bitterness units.
Yeah, okay, so I was close.
It's just giving you pretty much an idea of how bitter or how, quote-unquote, hoppy the beer is going to be, you know, how dry a finish. And
okay, so the bigger the number, the more bitter, the smaller the number, the less,
correct.
Right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, so, and that's something that's on the label, guys. If you're at the beer store and you're standing like I do, all starry-eyed in front of five cases of, not 24 in a case, but I mean five windows
with your
beer,
tongue hanging out.
Right, and you go, man, I'd really like to try something new. That's one of the things you can look at that is kind of a consistent indicator on every label is the IBU, because the bigger that number, the more bitter it's going to be. The smaller that number, the more malty and smooth it's going to be. So just a tip there to look at. But what do you think about that, Bob?
I agree, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the backyard expansion, just real quickly.
Yeah.
It's early in the season. It's
time
still
to
February,
start
but it's
that.
Starting to put a pencil to the paper and kind of design that up a little bit.
Yeah. I think there will be some shows coming up, home shows and different types of shows that might have some good ideas for you. One of the thing I'm really hearing a lot of is, and it's about time, I pushed these years ago, like 10 years ago, I started pushing them in this area. They didn't catch on. They're finally catching on, and that's the outdoor kitchen. You hear more and more people finally saying, okay, I'm going to take the plunge, because it's a pretty big investment. I mean, it can be $5,000 to $25,000, depending on how elaborate you want to get with it. But even for just a decent little outdoor kitchen, you're going to spend a few grand if you do all the work yourself, because you're talking about maybe putting some stone on it, stainless doors, shelving, a nice grill to drop in. There's no point in doing all that work and putting a piece of junk in it,
right?
Which does happen.
Well,
and
you got
time.
Water, you got electricity, so you got some of the tradesmen that need to come in,
exactly.
And you got special needs when you're putting water outside to be able to drain it so it doesn't freeze in the winter if you're not using it year round and you don't insulate it or whatever. So there's a lot of things you need to consider. And as we move forward throughout the spring, we're going to be touching on this topic a little bit more, because we want to make sure that you get a good understanding. We'll even have some contractors on it. If you don't want to do it yourself, they'll come on. We'll make some introductions to people that you can contract with and have them put these things in the backyard. So
cool.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking to my favorite cowboy, Rob Russell. He's going to do a little gourmet grilling. I don't know how he says that. It'll be interesting to listen to him. So we're the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.